The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus prayed for his disciples, saying, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have glorified in them. And now I am no longer of this world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that Scripture might be fulfilled. Now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy, be made complete in themselves. I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctifying them in truth, your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So what is the story of this deep theological discourse that Jesus is sharing? What's the point? Well, I think there are two moves we can exercise this morning that will help us understand. First, again, I think we need to recall when all this is happening. As I've mentioned before in the past few weeks, this is taking place on the night of the Last Supper, the night before Jesus is to be arrested, taken from them, tried, convicted, and crucified. And so he wants his disciples to know that they will be okay. He wants them to be prepared. And so through chapters 14 and 16 of John's Gospel, he's talking about his nature, about the mission that they're all sharing and that they will continue on with, about destiny and about their role in the future of all of it. And then in chapter 17, he stops and he prays for them. And what does he pray for? Well, he does not pray that it will be easy for them, because he knows it will not be easy for them. They are following a radically different path than the path of the world. The world's view is alien to that of Jesus. The world's view is one of fear. Jesus is one of courage. The world view is one of scarcity. Jesus' view is one of abundance. The world's view is one of sorrow, where Jesus' view is one of joy. And so, Jesus does not pray that it will be easy, but rather that God will support the disciples, that God will be with them on their journey, that through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they will know that Jesus has not left them, but continues to walk by their side, continues to enfold them in his loving arms. And that's what Jesus prays for. He prays for his disciples then, that they will know through the indwelling of the Spirit that he is with them. But you see, here's the second move that I think is even more important that we have to focus on. Jesus does not just pray for his disciples back then. It's important to understand that. Because listen to the next verse in John's chapter. It was not included in our reading this morning, but I think it's important for us to hear it. And it is this, John chapter 17, verse 20 through 21a. Jesus prays further, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that we all might be one. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one." And who are all those who believe in me through the disciples' word? Yeah, you got it. It's us. Us, we are. That's right. Jesus, on the night before he dies, prays for us. And what does he pray for? Well, he prays for the same thing, that we might find God's support and encouragement, and that we may have in fellowship with one another an understanding of God's presence, a realization of Jesus' love for the world and for us, and that we may find the courage, you and me, together, to go and proclaim this good news, to live into the reality of this good news, to share this good news, to invite others to come and experience this good news. And we do this together in the broken body of Christ. That's why it's so wonderful for us, trying to walk in the footsteps of that carpenter from Nazareth, to gather together in worship, to sing, to pray, to receive the bread and the wine, to know that when the going gets tough, we will not be going the path by ourselves. I think this is unbelievably cool that we have one of them. And through each other and other ways as well, we experience the presence of God. Next week, we will celebrate the Holy Spirit, that part of the Holy Trinity that we remember on that day of Pentecost. And it is, of course, not limited to that day, but that's for next week. This morning, I'd like to ask you a question. What do you want Jesus to be praying for you? What is it in your life that you would like to turn over to Jesus in prayer, for his prayer for you? Now, we don't get any sense that we're going to be taken out of the world. We're in it. This is it for us.
And thanks be to God, because the world is
a pretty good place to be.
But we realize that there will be those challenges. But in light of that, of being faithful Christians, on trying to walk in Jesus' path, what is it that we want Jesus to pray for us? Is it patience? To be a better friend or parent? Is it encouragement amid a chapter that may be difficult in our lives? Is it joy in the face of loss of a loved one, or loss of a relationship, or loss of a job? Is it hope when we feel like we don't have any options left? Is it companionship in a time of loneliness? Is it healing in body, mind, or spirit? Is it forgiveness or finding the ability to forgive? What do you want? What do we want Jesus to know about and to pray? So later on today, perhaps later on this morning, after brunch or whatever festivities you've got planned, find yourself a small card or a piece of paper. Grab a pen or a pencil and write down that one prayer you'd like Jesus to pray for. Put it in your wallet, put it in your purse, wherever you may find it during the course of the week ahead, and take it out. Look at it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Pray about it. And in that encounter, I think you just might feel the presence of God's love. The assurance of Jesus' grace. The certainty of the Holy Spirit. Try that and see what happens. For now, though, before the Pentecost, and please give me 2 more weeks before we have to talk about the Holy Trinity. For now, enjoy the fact that Jesus, all those years ago, was praying for us, not just for them. For all of us who believe, because of the word that came down from those disciples, that someone shared with us, that led us to this place where we are now, where we are St. Mark's, that small little piece of crust of bread of life, a cup of heaven. May we have that entrusted to us. May we rejoice in what has been given to us. May we be both the recipients and the stewards of that world. May we pray for each other. And may you know that I hold you in my prayers, that I ask for yours.